Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart Daters, welcome back to this episode of the podcast where you are going to learn about your intuition, how it relates to your life, to your love, to your dating. And we're going to talk a little bit about soul and soulmates with my new friend, Nikki Novo, who is here to join us. She's a best-selling author. She's a master intuitive reader. She has a podcast. She helps people with wisdom and guidance and helps people to really create purpose and soul-driven lives and businesses. So I can't wait to share Nikki with you. Nikki, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you, Bella. Thanks so much for having me. And although I've done a bunch of work with so many people, dating is definitely has like a sweet spot for me because it's how I got started in the work that I do. So I'm really happy to be here and feels like it's such a sacred time in our lives when we're dating. I know we don't see it that way because it's super annoying, but it's actually like a very special time. So I love being here. Thank you for having me.
Well, good. Well, tell us your story, Nikki. How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah. So I was a fashion and beauty editor for many years. I worked in media my whole life and, well, not my whole, my young, you know, my 20s and my early career. And I was dating this guy who I thought was my person. And I was really like, oh, like this is my person. I remember seeing him at an event, like we were at some sort of, I think at a party, I'm from Miami, so it must have been some sort of club situation.
Clearly, because that's what we do in Miami.
Totally. It's like you're dancing on top of something in Miami. So I was probably dancing on top of something and I lock eyes with this guy and, you know, before I know it, I'm dating this person. And I remember when I locked eyes with this person, I was like, oh, like this is like important. Like I didn't, you know, I didn't necessarily say like, oh, this is my person, but I just remember thinking like, this is important. So I followed my heart that way. And I didn't have the words intuition. I would have never called it intuition. I just felt like I was this person that would follow my heart through life. And I really valued that. And I just followed my heart towards this person. And I really felt that almost like God was calling me to this person. So I date, and we're together for about 2 years. And from one day to the next, he just breaks up with me. He just like dumps me out of nowhere. I'm super surprised. I can't believe it. But in a weird way, about like 6 months before that, I remember having this intuition that we might break up, but there was like no reason for that. But I had this like kind of pit in my stomach, but I just like let it go. 6 months forward, he breaks up with me out of nowhere. And of course, devastating because I thought I was going to be with this person, but mainly devastating because I was a person that had depended on trusting myself and like following my heart. So I was like, somebody needs to tell me what happened here.
Like
I need to talk to somebody like that knows God very well. I'd like to talk to the management right. And like find out like why this didn't work out. So I grew up Catholic. I'm from a Cuban family, and you know, going to psychics is a big no-no. But in that moment, I was like, I need somebody that talks to God. Is kind of what I was thinking. Like, I need somebody who can get past, just like the human. I went to a therapist. I did all the things, but I needed something spiritual. So I find this woman by like a, you know, by different chain of events that does angel readings. And I had never been to any sort of reading. I was, you know, taught to like be very afraid of that. But I went to this woman and she did angels. And I was like, well, angels are in the Bible. Like I should be okay. And I meet this woman and she was fantastic. And she predicted so many things. And one of the first things that she also said was like, oh, you know, you're going to find a person like this person's not your person. You know, she said like, I was going to have both. Like she was saying that I was like both going to have a career and I was going to have a family and kids. And that was exactly like what I wanted. Like I always wanted to do both. And at the end of the reading, she said something like, oh, and you know, like you know, you're going to get into like some of this work. And I asked her, I'm like, oh, do you think I can do what you're doing? Like, are you saying that like I'm intuitive? And she's like, yeah, you can absolutely do what I'm doing. Everybody's intuitive. And she gave me a bunch of books and I just got really into it because for me, I thought I was so heartbroken that I thought, if I could just figure out my intuition, like if I could get really good at this like inner compass, like inner voice thing, then I'll never suffer again. Like nobody can ever dump me again. You know, like if I could just know like who's right and who's wrong and what's a green flag and what's a red flag, then I'll like never have to suffer again. So I actually got into intuition work just so that I could predict everything and be perfect, basically. And, you know, little like that was my intention. But of course, as you go down that rabbit hole, it's definitely not about that. And I learned that intuition is not necessarily certainty or the like, you know, that it's going to give you like the absolute correct answer, but it's going to take you down the right path. And as humans, what we consider the right path is like not is different than like what the spiritual part of us considers the right path. And that's where that starts to, you know, have a little bit of a rub. And just to kind of go back to that guy that I really felt like my heart was guiding me, or that God or whatever you want to call it was guiding me towards that person. Once I started to study intuition, I realized what went wrong. I realized what happened. So I had been pulled towards this person, right? Like something like was magnetizing me towards this person. And in my head, I said, I was almost like feeling or hearing that I was supposed to be with this person.
Okay.
And that was correct. Like that intuition was correct. Like go towards this person. But what I got wrong was that I needed to add certainty to this feeling that I was getting. So I said, go towards this person. You're supposed to date this person. And then the certainty I added was because you're going to marry him and he's your person and he's your soulmate. So that certainty is actually was mine, was manufactured by me, when really my intuition was just telling me like, there's something for you to learn here. There's something for you to know and to understand and to figure out. And of course, looking back, you know, if you think about like the work that I do today, I would never be here if I didn't have that experience. And super hard experience, but at the same time, the most important experience. So when that happened to me, I had a little dating column in Miami because I was an editor and it was just something that I was assigned. And then all of a sudden I become single. So everything got interesting. But I realized at that time that moment of dating was such a special sacred time and actually an opportunity for soul growth. Like I saw that, I understood that it was an opportunity for your spiritual growth. Like it's not this like horrible thing that we all have to go through in order to find love. It's actually this moment of deep healing and expansion. And then love is like the carrot that the universe is like dangling in front of you. You know, you're like, oh, you're going to find love, but you're forced to go on this like yellow brick road journey in order to, you know, get to your destination. But all of us have gone through so much through that journey. And that was really the beginning of my passion. And I started to teach dating through an intuitive spiritual lens and even wrote my first book called The Final Swipe about the topic. So yeah, I'm very passionate about it. And I think that when we start to see it from more of a spiritual lens and bring our intuition and our soul into it, it gets a lot more interesting. And I think it actually can move a bit faster if we see it from a different lens.
I love that. And so here's my question. If you trusted your heart with regards to Miami Club guy, right? And then you realized that your heart wasn't guiding you in the right way, and you had ascribed certainty, right? I'm drawn towards this person, but I'm going to marry him. This is my person. So how do we know the difference between following our heart and following our intuition?
Bella, you're really good at your job because you just called him Club Miami guy. And like, obviously I should have known better. If that was, if that's what we're going to call him.
Let's go Club Miami. Woo, woo.
Okay. So yes, how do we know? So basically like, how do we know the difference towards like what's calling me and like, what's going to be the truth?
Yes. You mentioned heart and intuition. So, and I think people always say, okay, follow your heart, but am I following my head or am I following my intuition? Like, how do we know what we should be listening to?
No, that's a great question, because also it's like follow my heart is sometimes following my trauma, you know, in many
right,
ways.
Following like, my red flag dating patterns.
Exactly.
Which is what I was telling you before. This is what we yes. help people to do. Here's a system. This is the way the system works. And we're going to accompany you through the system to make sure that you don't accept people with red flags, because red flags feel comfortable to you because you've grown up with red flags. We can't pick our families of origin, or we don't really know what red flags feel like because we've been around them for so long in love.
So I love that. So for example, like you might take somebody that deserves, so let's say we have a scale from 1 to 10, we'll just put people on scales. And let's say you have somebody and you're like, you know, she deserves a 9, like, but she keeps dating 5s. And, you know, your work, right, is like, I'm trying to get them to date the 9, but she keeps being attracted to the 5. Sometimes she gets a 6, you know, but for the most part, she like doesn't, you know, she doesn't level up to that person that like she's really worthy of. And also the person that she's manifesting, like she wants the 9, but for some reason she's attracting a 5, a 6, or even saying yes to sure. those, that level, right? So what happens is that energetically, if I am at a 5, a 6, a 7, because maybe I have had some trauma, maybe, you know, I'm working through some things, then I am going to attract a 5, a 6, a 7, even though I want a 9. So oftentimes I know, excuse me?
It's like you're stuck. Is yes. What you're yes. saying. Okay.
And you know, oftentimes like all of us want to get into dating and not have to do a bunch of dating, right? Like that's what we would love. But often there is a bit of a journey, and sometimes there's people that we will meet that will like kind of elevate us from a 5 to an 8, even if it's sometimes a bad experience, right? Like being like, you know, I dated this 5, like never again. Like I deserve better, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden now I'm energetically rising to an 8, and then now I can start to meet an 8. So intuition, or your heart, if we're really using it, and if we're like really using it accurately, it is the voice of your soul. So it's this idea that we are mind, body, and soul. So there is a soul within you that is wise, that knows the way, that has a plan for this lifetime, you know, knows what kind of person you're supposed to be with, because like you have this whole life, right? Like the person you're supposed to be with is a piece of your purpose, you know? So like when you're looking for your soul's purpose and you find yourself dating a bunch, like believe it or not, like that person that you end up with is going to either help, or you know, is either going to support or not support that purpose you live into. So the divine work cares about this, like you know, you're not alone when you're dating. Like this is actually like your grandmother who passed, your lineage is hoping that you find the right person, like the universe, like everybody wants you to find that right person, because it actually puts you on your soul's path. But we have to understand that like there is healing and basically like cleansing of our energy to be able to become an energetic match to the right person. So my intuition, my soul was saying like, hey, date that guy. But the soul didn't guarantee, like the soul said, date that guy, because the soul knows that something's about to happen and something's going to really up level Nikki when she dates this person. It's going to be a little dramatic. It's going to be a little hard on her, but nonetheless, like she is supposed to go there. So that is, and of course, and I think from a place of like, you know, oh, well, was that a complete red flag? I don't have to necessarily date people that are not going to work out for me. I can definitely surpass that and like jump over that. But I would then have to rise my own confidence, my own energetic vibration on my own. And I'm sure sometimes with clients, you're probably getting stuck there. Like that you're like, why can't they get like, why can't they just get confident? And the truth is sometimes like they might have to date a guy that they're definitely not going to end up with, but makes them feel like the most beautiful woman in the world. They break up with that guy and like they're feeling good about themselves and they're ready for the next person. So I think we just like, you know, we don't want to go through the process of dating and all that because it's really hard. And and you have to be so connected to your intuition, because you have to know like when it's time to stop that. Like the guy that made you feel good that you're not going to end up with, like you also have to have the discipline to be like, oh, and my soul is telling me it's time to go. Like, you have to be able to close that off until it becomes spoiled milk. It's like, it was good milk until it becomes spoiled. And you also have to use your intuition to know when to stop that. And when you've gotten everything you need from a relationship, to go to the next thing. And often these souls help us get to the person that's really for us and helps us raise our vibration if doing it right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it really does. I mean, and I think that in dating, there's so much of this sunk cost dating, right? It's where people are like, oh, I hate dating. And this person, while they're a five, it's better than being single.
Totally. Yeah, 100%. And I think like then you're like, okay, cool. Then you're probably going to have to date a five, then date a six, and date a seven, and until you get to a nine. That's definitely one way to do it. Or I can be like, I'm dating this, I'm attracted to this five because it's better than being single. There's probably energetic work for me to do here. There's healing for me to do. There's an opportunity for like, for me in my own house, like I never have to leave the house to like actually raise my vibration, get more confident, all that, and go into this and like leap over the five, six, seven, and basically start attracting the eight. That is definitely possible. Some people need to do it step by step, and some people can make that quantum leap if they heal and kind of shift their vibration basically to get to where they want to go, if that makes sense. So
totally.
If you're going to date the five because you're like, it's better than being single, then at least make it work for you. The idea is that like you show up to that five and you're like, okay, God, okay, universe, like show me what I need to learn here. Like I'm ready for the lessons. And it's like, oh, you're dating the five. And all of a sudden the five, tells you that they can't pay for your meal or something. And you typically say, oh, that's okay. Yeah. Like no problem. But you, the honest truth is that you don't want that. Your nine pays for your meals, let's say, and that you're allowed to have whatever it is, like you deserve to have whatever it is that you feel you want, you need to have. So in that moment, you'd be like, okay, five, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to be like, I'm going to pay for it tonight. Thank you so much. But the next time we hang out, if you can't pay for me, then like maybe we should be doing something else. Like this is just not going to work out for me long term. Ding, ding, ding. Move to the level six, as opposed to staying in five by like, yeah, keep paying because this is what it's like to be in five. So you can use your five experiences to get you to the next level, but you have to be willing and present and available for the lessons rather than just like letting the five take you for a ride for wherever it's supposed to take you.
I love that. So people that are listening to this podcast are not five to six to seven to eight. They're like, Nikki Novo, I'm at a five. Tell me how to get to the nine, because I don't want to go through all of that. What is your, you know, is there a sequence? What do we need to do to go from the five to the nine? Sitting here, driving our cars, walking while we're listening to this podcast, washing the dishes. What do we do?
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you guys are that. You're shifters, as I like to call it. And that's nowadays, that's what I do in my work. I'm constantly shifting people's energy. That's what the podcast is about, all that. So you're basically saying, okay, currently my life, my reality is just like not giving me good options. Like the people I'm attracting, the people that are coming my way, like I would like a new reality, you know, like this reality is not working for me. Like I'm not okay with, you know, being single. I'm not okay with these people I'm attracting. Like I don't like any of this. I would like a whole new reality. So first of all, we'd have to kind of understand what that North Star is. Like, what is that new reality? And we're going to do like the basic things like, oh, I want a person who has this and maybe lives here. And, you know, it's okay. Like get into the very human ego stuff, like just list those things out, just being like, these are all the things I want. Okay. Amazing. But the truth is you can say, I want a guy with a boat. As you can see, I'm a Miami girl. So I have a client who that was part of like what she was setting up as her North Star. She's like, oh, I want a guy who wears a suit to work and he has a boat. And she's a master manifester. And lo and behold, she attracts a guy who wears a suit and has a boat. She ends up marrying suit and boat guy. And within a few years of the marriage, you know, suit and boat guy was completely empty and had nothing to offer and was a scam artist to, you know, and, you know, cheated on her.
Tinder swindler.
Yes. Total. Like, we always joke that the briefcase was full of crayons. Like, that was a joke going on.
Right. It's like, not my boat, not my suit.
Oh, it wasn't his boat. It was his dad. It was dad's boat. So yes, Bella, you know your stuff. So see, that's why, like, kind of thinking about those exterior stuff and coming from the exterior stuff, you can trip up, because the way that the universe works and the way that we bring things into our life is about the energetics, not about the physical. So there can be an amazing guy who owns a boat, and there can be a douchebag who owns a boat. Amen. How do we know? How do we know the difference? They could be wearing the same shirt. They can come from same the suit. Same. They can be wearing the same suit. They could have gone to the same school. Like, so what, then we get into the place. I remember when I was dating, I would say all finance guys are horrible. And I might have missed out on a lot of guys because I made this generalization. I'm sure there was a lot, even if it's majority true, even if it's like 80% for whatever reason of finance guys are horrible, there's still a 20% that I could be like looking away from. And that's because I am looking at the physical, not the energetic. So once you list out all the physical, a boat, the whatever, like go nuts. Then I want you to look at that list and say, what is truly the energy of this? Like, when I have this, how do I feel? And that client of mine, the truth is, when she had her list, like really what she was picturing, the feeling she was getting was safety. I feel safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm secure. I'm supported. I'm comfortable. I mean, I have goosebumps, right? Like, that's really, truly what she wanted. But unfortunately, she just didn't know how to come from the energetics. And she could meet somebody, and that doesn't mean she's going to meet a broke person that makes her feel, you know, because obviously there was these things of like, I want a nice boat and I got, you know, like there was wealth here, but there's like many different ways for that to come in. And at the end of the day, if you receive all that you are wanting to feel from an energetic place, you're going to be happy with what the universe delivers you. Some people freak out about this because they're like, you know, because we're controlling. We want to like control the reality. We want to like, you know, we want to make sure that like the universe delivers us everything and the exact same colors that we want. But what's interesting is that if you give so much like prerequisites to the universe cannot be creative and it will take longer. So if I say, universe, I want you to make me a dream house, but you can only use purple paint. You can only use wood and you can only use rocks. The universe will be like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's very limited. I'll get it done, but it'll take me much longer than if you let me use like whatever materials I want, and I will deliver it and it'll be even more fantastic than you can dream of. So when we're being very specific and being very controlling of what we want, and we're not focusing on the energetics of it, we're actually delaying the creativity of the universe because it has like these very strong, particular ways of bringing it to you. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's like, okay, when you focus on how you want to feel, instead of looking for the trappings indirectly that you think are going to cause the feelings, right? Because yes. I think what you're saying is, I, as a female, I want to feel safe and provided for. Therefore, if a man has a suit and a boat, indirectly, that should mean I'm going to be secure and feel safe. But it's sort of like putting your arm around your head to reach your ear versus just grabbing your ear, because you're ascribing those trappings to something that's going to make you feel safe. And what you're saying is, F all that stuff, right? Go for the feeling.
Yes, go for the feeling, because energy is the feeling. Energy is the emotion, all that. So then all of a sudden your North Star becomes the energy, like the feeling. Like, you know, and you might not be able to sum it up to like one. I love that you were like, you know, cared for, secure. And there's probably gonna be like a list of feelings. And so for me, one of the ones in Miami at the time when I was single, we would all wear heels to go out. And
of course, you got to dance on the tables and you can't.
Exactly. And my heels were enormous. Like, somehow they made me, I'm only 5'5", but somehow they made me like 5'10". And I like, you know, we're Hispanic, so Hispanic men tend to be a bit small. And I was like, I need somebody who's taller than me with heels, right? Like that was like one of my physical things. But the energetic of that, or the feeling of that, was I want to feel small in their arms. Like I want to feel feminine. I want to feel small. That's what I was trying to say. Like I want to feel feminine. And my husband is taller than me. He's very manly. He's very much a man. And that was just important to me, right? Like, and I thought that it was like a physical experience, you know, but for the most part, it was like that I wanted to feel small. And I learned more about myself after you make that list. Like when you make that list and you start to like really look at like how you want to feel, you learn so much about yourself. You're like, oh, like it's almost like you touch the heart part of you. And remember, if I am making the list from like what I think is going to make me happy, I am using my mind. And the mind is tricky and it's not always right. And it works off of patterns and it works off of like things it's seen in the past, where my heart knows the way. So all of a sudden, by really seeing myself from my heart place and being like, oh, Nikki, like you want to feel feminine, like you deserve to feel feminine. That is coming from my heart. So now all of a sudden I am using my heart to help me find my way through this maze of like craziness that is known as dating. And I have something that is actually guiding me better than my tricky mind that can definitely trick me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's starting out with how do I want to feel?
Yes.
And then that is your intuition. And your intuition will say, do you feel this way or yes. not, regardless of the boat or the flashy dance moves or whatever it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And also, so it's a few things. Like, I love that. Yes, you can use it on a date. You can be like, okay, am I feeling feminine right now, let's say. And if it's a no, you know, you'll have to kind of check in, like, is it me? Is it something I'm doing? Or is it like this person's not like giving me space to be feminine? You know, it's really going to help you make better decisions, number one. But also for those of us who want to like leap over and jump over, like you were saying, then what I'm going to do, and because the thing is also, I can't control dates. Like, let's say I'm just like not getting dates, right? Like out of protection, because the truth is there is nothing more damaging than to force ourselves to go on a bunch of dates and keep feeling like a failure. Because the most important thing in dating is that your energy remains high, that you are elevating that energy. So if you're going to put yourself on a bunch of 5 dates and you have no control and you feel like a failure after failure after failure, that's the most dangerous thing for you to do. So like you need to be protecting your energy the whole time, you know, that you're here. So let's say you're not going to take that route. I took the route of dating a lot. That was helpful for me. I was able to raise my vibration by being around some clients I get, that is not helpful for them. So then what they're going to have to do is, or some of them are just not attracting dates, and that's okay too. That's like out of protection. So I'm going to take this feeling of being secure and being feminine, let's say, I'm going to bring it into my day-to-day life. So I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to work today. Same old stuff. But I'm going to go to work today and I am going to feel feminine. Like that's going to be my intention. I may dress differently. I may let my coworker open the door for me. I may let somebody pick coffee up for me. And all of a sudden, I'm shifting my reality. Now I'm in a place where people provide for me. They're giving to me. I'm attracting things to me. All because I've decided to put my attention on being feminine. Where let's say like, you know, being the doer or the more masculine, or, you know, just like getting everything done. Like maybe that's my programming. Like that's, you know, that's what I was taught growing up. And I was rewarded for being like that. I'm the youngest child and I deserve, you know, I developed that habit. Amazing. But it's totally messing with me when I'm dating, right? So like that is our programming. We're not thinking about it. It's just happening. And that is often why like we're stuck. Like we keep attracting and our reality looks the same. So in order to change our programming, sometimes you're aware of it and you can change it from there, but you can also just change from knowing what you want and doing what you can to bring that feeling in your present day. You do not need to be on a date to bring that into your present day. So what happens is then, you know, it's hard for us to hold new vibration for a long time. So like being a feminine might be like a jump from like a 5 to an 8. And it's, you know, it's going to be hard to just like go from feeling an 8 every day. You know, you're going to relapse the next day. You're going to do something that was, you know, very masculine or whatever. So to not be hard on ourselves, but what we're trying to do is expand holding that feeling of, you know, safety or femininity, whatever it may be, and see how we can bring it into our day-to-day life. And then what happens is little by little, our reality changes. And then what reflects to us is the reflection of a very feminine person. So have you ever met a woman, let's say that like, you're like, dude, this lady like has it figured out. Like people just like serve her, bring her things. Like her guy does everything for her, blah, blah, blah. Right. You're like, damn, like I should have gone to that school. And it's really because she is living the reality of a person who is feminine, let's say, like of a person who is receiving, right? And like you're noticing like, man, I'm jealous of that person. Like, that's what I want. Well, what you're saying is like, I want the reality of somebody who is in receiving mode. So as I receive in the smallest of ways in my life, I begin to be the hero of a story where the storyline is about this hero that receives a bunch. And that's how your reality changes.
And so you become the person that can receive.
And then that, I always say it's like a Barbie dream house, right? So it's like now you're in the Barbie dream house of the person that receives. So in that Barbie dream house comes a Ken, has a certain car, has a certain job, right? You know, like how Barbie has like her, there's, you know, Barbie dream house who's a veterinarian and everything is about being a veterinarian. And then there's the Barbie dream house that she's a school teacher. And her Ken doll even looks different, right? Because, you know, it's school teacher Barbie. So Ken looks different to that. But now you've moved into another Barbie dream house, which is Barbie dream house of receiving. Your Ken is going to look different. Your job is going to look different. Your dog is going to look different. Everything is going to look different because it has to match up with the reality of somebody who's receiving. And that's how you change your life.
Right. And if you're always the doer,
you're in a Barbie dream house of the doer. So what is the Barbie? What do you think a Barbie dream house with a doer? Like you work at Mattel and you have to make Barbie dream house for a doer. What are you going to give her? What Ken are you going to give her? What mother are you going to give her? What dog are you going to give her? What best friend are you going to give her? All these people that take from her, that are lazy, that are, you know, taking up a bunch of space. Like that's what you're going to design.
Right. Versus if I'm a receiver, I still need to give. We all need to give, even though we want to receive.
Yes. Right?
But then we need to give to people that give back, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. And you're also, you know, we're trying to simplify. You guys will have to look at what, you know, what is that North Star energy or that North Star feeling that you're really going for? And you can kind of, you know, you might have like five things that are these feelings or these energy and just work them one by one. Be like, today's the day that I'm going to feel more like a receiver. Today's the day that I'm going to feel, you know, more safe, like whatever that is. And what's so interesting is that, first of all, like just because I say I'm going to be a receiver doesn't mean that like it completely knocks out like this. It's like, we're just trying to dilute the crazy amount of doing, you know, that like is in me. And now it's going to be more 50-50. Like it doesn't completely erase the doing and the things that we love about ourselves. It's really just like, I'm bringing in this new energy that at least is going to dilute the intensity of, you know, of this giver or whatever that I have in me. So you're not losing yourself. You're just introducing more balance by introducing these like new energies. And the energies, you know what I love about like kind of like looking at your North Star and deciding what like the North Star energy is that you're going for is that all of a sudden it gives you creative solutions to what you're seeking. Because I always say like dating is like a maze. Like you're at one end of the maze and your soulmate is at the other end of the maze. And you're both looking for each other, but somehow you can't, you know, find each other and you're just feeling stuck and you don't know how to get there. Like, do I do apps? But I don't like apps. You know, do I reach out to so-and-so to see if they can hook me up with so-and-so, but I've already done that before. And I didn't like that either. And like, you're almost like out of solutions. So when I say my main intention right now is to feel the energy of feeling safe, what's so interesting is that that energy will attract things to you. And like, before you know it, you are in a breathwork class and you're like, how did I get here? And it's like, yeah, well, that energy of like wanting to be safe brought you to breathwork that is now teaching you how to hold safety in your nervous system, let's say. So it's like, and then your nervous system is calm. And then before you know it, your coworker introduces you to the brother. Like you, it's magical. Like you can't make that stuff up. So that's why like we need to stop pretending like that we're doing here, you know? like that we're going to make this happen. We have to stop, you know, pretending that. It's really the shifts within our body. We all have this energetic aura that attracts life to us. So we're shifting that so that it comes to us rather than feeling like I have to make this happen myself and, you know, be controlling and all that. So it's really beautiful how when you set an intention other than I must find my person, when you're like, I must feel safe in my body. If your person meets, if you know that when you go into your future and you're feeling safe and your person is there with you, then you don't need to be afraid to start working on feeling safe today. Like you don't like, and putting, and like almost like not looking at dating. And it's also like, let's say you're working with Bella and you're like, you know, that like safety or, you know, provided for is one of the things, then that's like a lens that everything can be looked through. You know, like, okay, cool. You went on this date or you met that person. Did they feel, you know, like what made you feel safe? What didn't make you feel safe? And it's such a better way. Like you feel more in control than like having to go off like what the culture tells us we need to do in order to find our person.
No, it's so true. You know, I was talking to a client, Nikki, this morning, and this conversation is so good with regards to that. And she is a doer, owns a firm, multiple people work for her, and she is a get shit done person from A to Z, like a driver socially, philanthropically, business-wise, financially, and has been on several dates with someone. And, you know, it was her birthday and he had her over and cooked her dinner and made her a homemade cake, which was really, really nice. And so, but then on subsequent dates, and now she operates from a place of trepidation, you know, a lot of hurt from a prior relationship. So there's this constant state of vigilance of, are you good for me? Are you not? Like, where is this? And so on a date, you know, she says, well, you know, my, you know, a piece of furniture sort of was flying around outside and it was late at night. And she's like, well, I'm going to go see what that loud noise was. I think the table's flying around. And she said, he just sat down on the couch and I went outside and he didn't say, let me go help you or take care of it. And so the conversation was, are you, were you giving off that energy of you're afraid he thinks you might not be that into him. He doesn't want to push too fast. And so it's always this dance of also, what am I, is my fear driving the bus here and rebuffing people?
Yeah. And listen, I like to call that like having a lack of capacity to hold what we actually want to hold. So this is a person that like wants to have more space in their body to be able to receive support and, you know, and somebody that is going to make them feel safe and them feel supported and all that. But I don't, because of my past, like I'm kind of closed, you know, closed. And it's almost like there's, it's like I'm a vase, but I'm a very skinny vase. And what we want to do is like open that vase so that more water can come through, which is more support, all those things. So in that moment, if she know, if she's like aware of this, like I am trying to create a reality where like I'm supported and I'm cared for. It's not so much about being like, oh, he didn't get up, he didn't do it, like didn't pass the test. Actually, she's going to have to then and take the step and be like, listen, it's hard for me to do this, but I'm like really working on feeling supported and I'm totally capable of getting up and going to see what's out there, but I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to ask you if you'll come with me.
Exactly. And, yes.
And then he's going to come with her. And because the thing is, like, we definitely, we train people both through our words and through our energy on how to treat us. So like that, that's a total opportunity to use my voice. There are some opportunities that are like nonverbal for sure. But in that case, like we want to give people a chance. And when she vulnerably says that, she is shifting her energy from a person that is a doer to a person that is a receiver. That woman that we're talking about that, you know, has a guy doing all this stuff for her, there's something either she has trained or she has, maybe you don't see her saying it so much anymore, But at some point in the relationship, like she was saying what she needed. And now this person, they're just in a flow of like, you know, this person's used to doing those things because she was clear for a long time and vulnerably shared and like did that hard work. And I think we just don't always see that hard work. And, you know, you're on Instagram and I saw this yesterday. And I was like, oh, God, my God, please stop. Like some girl on Instagram was like, my husband does this, this and this for me and the videos. And I'm like, bitch, tell me how many times you had to tell him to Amen. Do that for you and all that stuff. Like you're making us out here thinking like there's good guys and there are bad guys. And that's not true.
That
there
is not
are
true.
People like we train people. And it is hard for us to step out of that because her comfort zone is doing. She has to step out of that comfort zone to receive. And she's being asked to do it in the hardest way because she has to vocalize it. Like that's hard. But that is an energy leap. That's a huge energy shift that she's doing for herself. And she's like cementing, even if it's not that guy, like even if that guy says no, you know what? Like she's already shift. And the next person is going to be more of the person in this new energy that she's in. So there are no losses in that, especially if you're afraid, you know, of getting, you know, rejected and all that. Like you don't lose that bravery that you just did.
And I love the way that you're shifting the thought on that, because I call it using your voice to say what you want and then giving people the opportunity. But what you're saying is, it's a whole shift in your energy. If I want to receive more, I need to be a good receiver. And even if somebody doesn't know how to give to me in that moment, I have to be vulnerable enough to say, you know what? I would love it if you would go outside with me, or just go outside and grab the groceries. And then when you say it, and the person does it, and this is probably what, you know, the woman who receives all the time, it's like, you've said it. They did it. You validated them. You thanked them. You made them feel good. Oh my God, that was so amazing. You made me feel so safe and looked after. I'm so grateful. And what does that do? It's positive reinforcement. What are they going to do? They're going to do more of that because they want the pats on the head and the pats on the back.
Of course. And, you know, in that moment, if you don't know how to do it, right? Because like for the girl that's receiving, maybe her mom was a really good receiver and that's like, it's so natural for her. Like she doesn't, you know, that's just the way that she knows how to do it. And for us that maybe grew up in other environments, like this is so foreign to us, right? Or we were in an 8-year relationship with somebody who was like taking, you know, it's like, it may not be natural for you, but you can stop, slow down and be like, okay, if I was like in a feminine place of receiving or how, you know, whatever the word is, how would I do this move that I'm about to make as a receiver? And you might even have in your head, like, you know, the woman who receives, like what, you know how like those bracelets, like what would Jesus do was in style for a while. You could be like, what would the receiver do? And you can play, because you may not be holding that energy right now, but you can borrow the energy of a person who is that and just act and just be like, I'm going to act like I'm in a movie and I'm going to act as like a person that's really good at receiving. What would I do in this moment? And that will guide you. And that's a way of using like your own inner guidance to help, you know, move you over there. So you're not alone in that process. Like you have your own inner compass to be able to support you.
This is awesome, Nikki. I feel myself shifting. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell our listeners?
Yeah.
Before we close.
Yeah. With dating, I like to briefly talk about soulmates because I think there's a lot of our energy gets caught up in that. So I'm always looking when I think about like attracting the person I want and, you know, creating the life that I want, all that, we need our energy to be able to do that. But there are places where our energy gets caught up on, right? So it's like, if I had a bad experience, for example, that client had a bad experience with the last relationship, some of her power is over there. Like she has left power there. And through this retraining that you're doing with her, Bella, right, you're helping her grab that power from that experience, bring it back into the present, and therefore she is more potent, and therefore she becomes a better creator. She can bring more into her life. And in soulmates, I feel like there's a lot of power kind of caught up in that sometimes, like this idea that maybe there's one person for us and all that. And soulmates is obviously like a romantic term that we use, but soulmates is the concept that there are people in our human lives that we have lived another lifetime with. That's like, you know, it's like me and this soul, like we've been together in other times. So there's like a recognition to a soulmate, but you probably have, you know, maybe your best friend is your soulmate. Maybe your child is your soulmate, right? Like there are many souls that we feel very deeply connected to. And sometimes in dating, when we are drawn to somebody that we recognize, you're like, why do I know this person? But like, you've never met them before, or you feel like very drawn to them. And you're like, oh, that must mean because like we're meant to be together. And then, you know, you start dating the person and they break up with them and you're so confused. Soulmates also help teach us lessons. So sometimes people come into our lives that we do know that feel very familiar to us to help us get to the next level. And it would be beneficial for us to, and I know that that, especially in something that's very traumatic and something that is hard to get over, it might not happen overnight, but it is supportive for us to, it's kind of like when people say like, we forgive others, not for them, but for us, but it is supportive for us to look at our past relationships and be like, that was really hard, but like I have become so much more stronger in myself and more confident in myself. And I'm actually like going to get something better than I would have ever had because of that experience. And I'm grateful to that soul for that, but that was not my person. And now like I'm on to like what is truly for me. And the people that are truly for us are at the, there are a lot of different options, but it depends on like what vibration we want to be on. You know, like there's somebody for me at the vibration 5 and there's somebody for me at the vibration 8. So like when you're doing this work with Bella, which is so sacred, it's important to be like, I'm here not to just get somebody. I'm here to get like the highest and greatest possibility for myself. Like I want the highest and greatest possibility for my life. And like that, you know, person will also come along with a whole life. Like we said, like the Barbie dream house. So it's worth pausing and like doing this well and just getting your hands dirty so that you end up with the highest and greatest possibility for you. And not to put that pressure on you. I'm not saying best. I'm not saying most like riches. I'm not saying, you know, any of that. I'm saying highest and greatest possibility, which is really more speaking to the soul. Like what is going to give me the most expansive experience this lifetime? And I want to show up for that. And that's where you really feel alive and you feel in alignment with your life. And a person can either like bring you there or take you there. So to you know, to like be mindful of that and to feel lucky that you're here, because how many people have you met that like they're just stuck with the person that they're stuck with because they didn't do the work before they met the person, and now their whole life can, it's like you definitely have a cap with your life when it comes to the person that you're with, unless you're with a person who's very much willing to grow. That was something I put in my, you know, my list. I was like, I wanted somebody who was going to grow with me because I knew I was going to grow. And that like, you're in this place where like, you're in complete like blank slate where you get to do it well and do it right. So there is I know it's hard, but there is an opportunity to be grateful for this moment. Because like you are going to create something great if you're here. I mean, if you're listening to that, you're meant to. That's why this episode came your way. So yeah, I just want to encourage you to show up for it, to be present for the work, because you'll be so grateful to yourself later.
Oh, this was amazing. Well, Nikki, where can people get more Nikki?
Yeah, I have a podcast called Soul Led Living, which is a great place to start. Lots of energy shifting. And then I have a dating book called The Final Swipe, and it's available on Amazon.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Smart Daters. If this was your first time listening to this podcast, man, you got a good one. And I hope you feel shifted today and open to receiving all of the good things that are coming to you, and going from that 5 to the 9, we gave you the leapfrog rocket ship ways to get to that place, and being open to really sitting down and saying, what is good for me? How do I want to feel? And then being intentional about that on a daily basis and watching how many times you are given to during that day, right? And so, again, Nikki, thank you for being on this podcast and Smart Daters. If you are ready to give yourself a gift, get out there and start dating in a different way. Schedule a consultation with us. If you've been following this show for a long time, doing this work on yourself is sacred and the best investment that you'll make in dating to really find that incredible soulmate for yourself, because the lid to your pot is out there. And remember, there are many lids to your cute little pot. So with that, until next week, I bid you farewell.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.